We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have a question for you, though.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's do it.
We've got so much more blue gold game stuff coming up in rapid fire now. Fill in the blank. Steve Angeli being picked number one overall in the blue gold draft today is blank.
It's shocking, to be honest with you, because, again, I think that this game I'm not going to go with shocking. I'm going to go with a setup. I think this game is set up to favor Angeli. Like, I think they want to say they want, not that they're not. Okay. Let me backtrack here.
Slow down. Yeah. Slow down. I feel like you're about to blurt out names that are unwarranted right now. Collect yourself.
Collect Angeli, yourself.
Slow your eyes down. Don't go through your progressions too fast. Okay. And
all right.
Set.
I'm sitting in the pocket. I'm reading this mock draft I'm reading the draft results that they gave us. It's a setup because I think Angeli is set up to succeed, but then if he doesn't, he's set up to fail pretty hard. Like, just like what you were just talking about, right? Like, he's got all the pieces to go out and just have a day, right? Like, just kind of consistently do his thing. But then it's also like, if CJ Carr and Minshew do better with less, he's set up to kind of look bad. You know what I mean? Like, he's set up to do good, but then if he doesn't do good, he's ultimately set up to kind of look like a fool because he can't perform, you know, better than the younger guys with what you would probably say is the better roster. So I'm going to go with, you know, him being drafted number one overall feels like a setup to me.
That's interesting that you phrased it that way, because like you took it in a little bit different direction, as in like this whole thing is set up for him to succeed. And I can see that. It definitely felt to me like, okay, Steve Angeli had a bad week last week. Everybody's talking about CJ Carr. How do we make Steve Angeli feel good? Well,
that's
let's
what
make
I mean.
Steve Angeli the number one pick in our blue gold draft. And we're also going to put him in a red jersey, and the other guys are going to run around and do different things than Angeli is going to do out there. And then, as you said, and as I mentioned earlier, with all the skill talent that he's going to have around him out there as well, it definitely felt like it was a meant to be, you know, Steve Angeli, let's feel good about ourselves going into this blue gold game, trying to give him as much confidence as possible and see if he's able to feed off that a little bit this weekend, try to bounce back from that rough day that he had last week. That's how it feels to me, because all the love was going to the young guy, right? And you all, and they also made sure by saying in advance that CJ Carr was going to play for both teams. I mean, they made sure that nobody could draft CJ Carr up there at the top spot, even if they wanted to, right?
Right.
Not that they would necessarily, but they they definitely made sure that they couldn't. I agree, D-Rock. I don't think Angeli has any margin for error as well. And, you know, we can talk about would you draft a quarterback first in a draft like this? We've both done plenty of fantasy football in our time. Just looking at the rosters and the kind of players who were available, if you were going, like if you won the coin toss today and you had the option of whatever position group you could pick at the top of the draft, what position group would you have gone with?
Wide receiver.
Me too.
All the quarterbacks are basically the same. You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of standard deviations between that group, right? They're all relatively the same. And I think you need to get, if you want your squad to look good offensively, you got to get the most explosive position skill players. And so I would have started with wide receiver or running back, if I were to be honest. I would probably went like number one would have been probably with who was out there at wide receiver, probably Greathouse or Love would have been, Jeremiah Love would have been my number one overall pick.
Yeah, and as it was, Jaden Greathouse was the first wide receiver picked, and Jeremiah Love was the first running back picked in the draft. Now, remember, no Jadarian Price in this draft either. Now, speaking of which, so we agree, wide receiver, we both would have went with wide receiver and then worked from the, you know, because really, again, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter because of the way that they do it. You pick everybody at the, you know, at one position group, and then you move on to the next position group. So it doesn't matter where you pick the quarterback, but I think because of the receivers available, that there's a lot more variation there. So I would have gone with the receiver first so that I could have taken Jaden Greathouse at the top. And there's not a whole lot of difference ultimately, as you said, standard deviations between the quarterbacks.
Yes. Gotta throw some math love in there. Come on, everyone loves math.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so here's a reminder. The players who will not be available Saturday due to injury. This is Notre Dame athletic trainer Rob Hunt.
Unavailable for this year's spring game. Kevin Bauman, Charles Dew. Mitchell Evans, Aiden Gobira, Jaden Harrison, Riley Leonard, Benjamin Morrison, Armel Mookum, Styles Prescott, Jadarian Price, Leo Scheidler, Jaden Thomas, Logan Thomas, Cameron Williams, and Kedron Young. Thank you.
All right, so there is your list of the unavailables due to injury. Charles Dew getting a lot of love there. So take Riley Leonard out, because I think we'd all like to be able to see Riley Leonard out there Saturday. Who is the player on that list that you most wish was going to be out there Saturday that you could see play?
I got two of them. I'm going to go one. Cam Williams would be my young guy, wide receiver. Heard a lot about the talent, the explosiveness. I wanted to see it in action. I wanted to see him live. So I think Cam Williams would be at the top of my list. And then honestly, you know, I went back and forth on this, and the only reason I picked Cam Williams is ultimately because he's younger. But Jaden Thomas, man, like I need to see him out there and healthy. I think it's not great that, again, Jaden Thomas has some sort of injury bug and he's not out there. You know what I mean? Like, I know it. I guess I kind of know what Jaden Thomas's game is. But again, he's always hurt. And I just feel like for his sake and, you know, for the sake of some leadership and some experience in the wide receiver room, it would have been nice to see some Jaden Thomas. But again, I'm going with Cam Williams because he's the younger guy. I haven't seen any of Cam Williams yet.
Yeah. So to answer these questions, yes, everyone's name you just heard on that list has some kind of injury. Cam Williams, Jadarian Price, you know,
he was up there too.
Asking about, Jaden Thomas, no Kedron Young. Now, these are most likely that we know of just minor little precautionary type things, because there is such a long list. I mean, we'll be able to ask Marcus Freeman after the game the extent of what they are, and hopefully, you know, find out. Hopefully none of them are serious. But from what we understand, it doesn't sound like any of them are serious. They're more, you know, minor, you know, like Jaden Thomas had a hamstring last week. Now, big picture, that's an issue for Jaden Thomas because he had a hamstring all last season. But I think that these are just like little precautionary things. There's no reason to put him out there on the field playing tackle football when they're, you know, got a little ding or whatever, to what extent. Mine would be Jadarian Price, though, is the one that I would like to see. I would really like to see Love on one side, Price on the other, and just see them.
Who's the lead back?
Yeah, exactly. See them on the field. Like, we got to see a little bit of Jeremiah Love doing a little truck show last week, right? When he ran over Adon Shuler. If you've seen that video from the highlights last week, that was like, Jeremiah Love was not the guy that you expected, you know, to see doing that kind of stuff. But I would like to see both of the running backs out there. We're not going to see that, but that's who I would like to see. You know, we got to see Cam Williams last week. That's fine. He's not going to be out there this week, so I'm good with that. But, you know, there's a fairly significant list of guys that we just ran through there who are not going to be available. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Kingston Viliamu Asa was the first linebacker selected in the draft.
It's juicy, baby. It is juicy, juicy, juicy that KVA was the first linebacker drafted. Do you know, I should know this, does baseball have a game that day? Will Drake Bowen be in attendance?
I will say this. I think he is going to be playing in the football game, because I don't know exactly what the baseball schedule looks like, but on the notes that we were sent after the draft today, Jordan Faison is going to be, I believe, designated to the blue team, but there is a lacrosse game at 11:30 that morning. So I don't think they're anticipating him playing in the game. So like Jordan Faison will be there, I think, at some point, but I don't think he's going to play. It sounds like, you know, what they said from the start with the baseball football thing with Drake Bowen is if there's football, football is going to take priority. So,
oh, wow. Even in the spring game.
Yes.
Okay. That makes it even more juicier for me. I think that this was deliberate as well. I think that they want to put some pressure on that Mike linebacker position and really figure out, like, to me, it shows KVA still has a chance to be the starter. I don't think that they've 100% determined who the starter at Mike linebacker is going to be.
So there is a baseball, as I was saying, there's baseball and softball both going on this weekend. They host Boston College at 2:00. So it's a 3-game series, Boston College, 2:00. So most likely Drake Bowen will play in the blue gold football game. And then we'll do what Jeff Samardzija used to do and run across the parking lot and get over there to the baseball stadium and see if there's any availability for him after the blue gold football game is over. So just to kind of answer that.
Yeah. No, but kind of to go back to what I was just saying there, I think the door is still open on the Mike linebacker position. And to me, it really feels like this spring game is kind of the first test, you know, who's going to pull ahead in the horse race a little bit between Drake Bowen and KVA. I don't think that that position is 100% settled. And I think it's kind of, again, juicy that they went with KVA to maybe send a message to Drake Bowen being like, hey, you know, this thing isn't 100%. We need you to be locked in and have a good day as well.
So a couple of different things. Josh said Faison is on the depth chart for the game, though. I will read you exactly what it says in the notes that Notre Dame sent to us, because they included a specific note about Jordan Faison. So personnel notes. They ran through the injured players that we just ran through. Wide receiver Jordan Faison has been designated a member of the blue team, but he will be competing as a member of the top-ranked Notre Dame men's lacrosse team against North Carolina at Arlotta Stadium at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. So Jordan Faison's priority is going to be with the number one-ranked men's lacrosse team before the blue gold game.
It sounds like he'll walk over after the game and be dressed on the sideline with the blue team, right, but won't play.
Right. Exactly. He'll do the opposite of Bowen. He'll come back from lacrosse to football. Brent is Kaiser still a projected starter? Yeah. Definitely he is.
I mean, he's the captain.
I mean, as of right now, he is. But I do think, you know, to answer the question about KVA, I do think it's pretty significant that he is the first linebacker drafted in this thing, a true freshman, and the fact that you do have guys like Drake Bowen, Jaden Osbury, Jalen Sneed, all those guys, and all of them were available in this draft, and KVA went first, and Drake Bowen went second. And, you know, again, like you talk about sending messages and all those different kind of things, I think it says a lot for where Kingston Viliamu Ace is right now.
Ahead of schedule.
Yep, which is good for everybody. Okay, so Dela McCullough, head coach of the gold team. Al Washington, head coach of the blue team for Saturday's game. They both did a little post-draft speech today with, you know, kind of like fire the troops up and that kind of stuff. I'll let you hear both of them. Washington is paired up with his captain, Jack Kaiser. Here's Washington first.
I say really excited about our team. It's great to do all this, to compete together. You know, nothing's more important than the team, but, you know, what we've got to do out there is represent what blue's all about, man. That's toughness. That's consistency. Whatever other positive adjective you want to put on it, that's what we're about. You understand? I'll pass it over, Jack. Let's go.
Coach Wash has been up all night working on this. His war room upstairs is just everything. It's a madman. So I'm confident in our team. We got the right players. We're going to go out and dominate on Saturday.
All right. So there's Al Washington and Jack Kaiser. And now, if I can get this cleared out of here, now we're going to go over to the other coach and his captain, Dylan McCullough and Xavier Watts.
We're not going to be dealing in adjectives. We're going to be dealing in verbs, straight action. And all those verbs are going to be fueled by D3. I ain't got much to say. We're going to follow D3's game plan. We're going to go out and dominate. Go team for the dub. Let's go.
All right, Jess, who had the better speech?
Well, I thought both of the players were lackluster, but Dylan McCullough definitely had the better speech between him and Al Washington. I like what he said, though. You know, we're not about adjectives. We're about verbs. We're going to do the dang thing. We're going to actually go out there and run the ball, throw the ball, you know, all the verbs. I like that. I thought that was great. And I like that he slipped in a little, you know, a little swear word in there, too, when he was describing the verbs.
Well, when I was listening to it, I was like, did he really just say that? And then I, you know, pulled the recording. I was like, I got to slip a beep in there. I can't let that slide. You know, we're a family show here.
I feel like that's going to be a shirt at some point. Straight bleeping action. Straight bleeping
action. That's right. That's right.
All the players need to be wearing that underneath their pads that just says straight bleeping action on their chest.
Yep. That's it, man. That's it. I mean, I'm a little bit more fired up, you know, to like to see this than I even was before. You like to see if it is like, you know, is it going to be the NFA crew, the not fooling around crew, only, you know, like the F is not necessarily fooling. Is that what it's going to be? I mean, that's basically what Dylan McCullough is. He's the NFA coach, you know, is what it is. So that was, you know, the little war words before the game, just to spice it up a little bit, make it a little bit more fun, make it a little more salty, a little more juicy. And I see Salty still kind of hanging around in here, too. Tommy is accusing me of saying words that I don't know that I actually said. Do you remember me saying that word?
No.
Before?
Nope.
Jess?
I never.
All right, so in an article from ESPN.com, a close friend of Bill Belichick is quoted as saying, I don't think Bill Belichick will ever be a head coach again in the National Football League unless it's for Jerry Jones. So what do you think about that, Jess?
That's interesting to me because, one, why Jerry Jones of all people? And two, what kind of conversations have they already had? And number three, what kind of ungodly expectations is Jerry Jones putting on this team this season while he's simultaneously handcuffing them with the payroll? You know what I mean?
I mean, basically, I think the guy is saying, you know, because I get, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, but without going straight down that rabbit hole, I mean, basically, you know, what this guy is saying is if Jerry Jones decides that he's going to pull the trigger after another disappointing season that he's setting himself up for next year, that, you know, that's the scenario where Bill Belichick gets the in and gets to coach again, because Jerry Jones will be that desperate. Now, you and I thought that he might be that desperate this offseason.
Yeah.
But it never came to that. But I could see it a year from now. I could see it a year from now. You win 12, 13 games again and you get, you know, another early playoff exit. And they're probably not going to have a quarterback either. I could potentially see them making that.
That's what I mean. Like if they crash and burn in the first round of the playoffs after, you know, a marginally good season, 12, 13 wins, like you alluded to, I mean, they're just going to pull trigger on everything. Coach is gone. Quarterback is gone.
I don't know how you don't.
Yeah, you're hitting the restart button,
and that's the guy that Jerry would be willing to potentially give up some control.
I mean, I would too, right? Like,
yeah,
are we almost rooting for a meltdown this season? Is that what's happening now? Are we finding a different team, like you alluded to, after the end of the regular season, and just hoping our Cowboys
just go to the back of the shed like a dog and, you know, just do the dang thing. Get us out of here.
Yep. Salty, wash it down. Have a drink on me tonight, buddy. Just keep shooting those whiskeys.
Where's our good friend DK? I haven't seen him at all.
I don't think he's here
today.
I don't think he's here tonight. Brent.
That's unfortunate.
Brent says they kept McCarthy, didn't sign anybody, reports Parsons wants out. I mean, it's a mess right now. It's a train wreck is what it is. And that's why Jerry's just going to be another year older. How far can you get? And that's why I think that there's as good if it's I don't disagree at all. I think that that is the scenario where he could make a move. But probably it's going to be too little too late by then because of all this other inactivity. But, you know, they save that money, Jesse, so that they can sign their own players. But and you also know why they sign their own players is because of the ego of the guy in charge thinking that his decisions are the best decisions. And that's why he hangs on to coaches for too long, because he doesn't want to make, you know, admit that he has made mistakes. And he loves his own draft picks because he thinks he's a genius when he makes them, even though they don't go out and make other moves to augment the roster. So fill in the blank. Toronto Raptors two-way player Jonte Porter getting a lifetime ban from the NBA for betting on his own team and betting the unders on his own personal over-under game props is blank.
Is completely idiotic. In what world do you give up $1 million in a contract as a professional athlete just to net $20,000 on FanDuel? You're telling me that net of $20,000 was worth it to throw away millions of dollars of, you know, being a professional athlete in the NBA? It's completely mind-blowing to me. And then he also, you know, he didn't necessarily – I don't think he necessarily bet on his own unders. I think he gave them out to someone else and was
right. But at the same time –
and they made, you know, a ton of money off of it.
He worked to stay – you know, like he took himself out of games, for example, said he wasn't feeling good.
Right.
And basically told – but, like, there were enough warning flags going up, you know, with people – like, there was heavy money on his unders. Yeah, so he might not have personally done it. And that's why – you know, a player in this situation, you know, you said like $1 million. Like to us, yeah, that's a lot of money. To the average NBA player or to the, you know, like the majority of NBA players, that's not a ton of money. And that's like, I think that one, him getting a lifetime ban is completely fair. But I also think that with sports wagering proliferated the way it is, these are probably the kind of players that you have to watch out for. Like a guy who's a G League guy with a two-way contract, or, you know, like young Major League Baseball players who are, you know, just getting in. Like the fact that you have game props on them, there is, I think, a higher probability that you'll have this kind of stuff happen, basically to augment the salary because these guys aren't making as much money. Like they are the danger. They're the danger zone, basically, because they're not making $5-10 million a year. They're making, you know, $1 million a year and less. So there's a greater probability that they're going to be doing this kind of stupid stuff.
I agree. So are you basically saying that props should be limited to starters only?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like at the very least, like if we're just going to say NBA, if it's not starters, you can't have these guys on the two-way contracts having game props.
Okay. Okay. Did you know, though, little fun fact for you, did you know Jonte Porter has a brother in the NBA as well?
I did not. His name
Michael
is what?
Porter Jr. for the Denver Nuggets is Jonte Porter's brother.
Really?
Did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yes. That was a fun thing that I came about when looking into all this Jonte Porter mess. Realizing that Michael Porter Jr., a very good player, a starter for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, he's been around for
brother.
A while, right?
Yeah.
This Jonte guy, I had never heard of him before this whole thing came up. I don't know about you.
No, I didn't either. And the crazy thing is Michael Porter Jr. out of college was like a stud, and he played for his dad in college, and he had a bunch of back problems coming out of college and, you know, still got drafted and all that stuff. So, like, I guess what I'm getting at here is, like, this has to be embarrassing for his family and himself, because like, you're a basketball family. Your dad's a basketball coach. Your brother's in the NBA. Like, how do you come home and say, oh yeah, I got kicked out of the NBA because I wanted to bet on my own props. Like,
yeah,
I just feel like it's super embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, it's really shameful in my opinion as well. And this is why sports betting is so taboo and comes and goes and being legal and illegal.
Right.
Because they don't want people fixing games. Like, this is
why it was resisted forever.
And
yeah,
honestly afraid that the more that this crap comes out, they're going to take away legal sports gambling again.
Yeah. You know, the tightrope, though, is all these leagues have so much money on the line because they're taking money from, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings and whoever else. So, but I would be shocked if more states don't start doing what like Ohio and Louisiana.
I was going to say, I think that's why Ohio took away college props is because their college players are so much more influenced than NBA players, and NBA players are so obviously compromised as well.
Yeah. D-Rock Irish throwing this one in there, and I did see this afternoon. Ireland race car driver James Rowe is going to wear a special Notre Dame football-inspired helmet in the next in the Indy events at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway coming up next month. They designed a special Notre Dame helmet. Did you see the helmet? I think you saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, it's sweet. I mean, I can pull it up real quick if we have a second.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah. Let's do it.
I think the viewers deserve to see how awesome this thing looks. It's imagine the football helmet, but made for an
IndyCar racer.
Or an IndyCar racer. Let me see here. This is why you want to be on the shows where I'm here. I bring up the technology. I get the people going.
Well, while you're doing that, Brent's reminding everybody to hit that like button. And thanks again for being the cheerleader for that. And, you know, I have to agree with Tommy on this one. If you don't like the like button, you're basically Vince. You hate puppies and vets, and you might be a commie. I mean, that sums Vince up to a T, I think, doesn't it, Jess?
Yes, it does.
All right. So and that's like, you wouldn't even know that that's a race car helmet. That looks like a football.
I know, right? Did it change screens as I changed it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because there's more.
Those are pretty cool. That's a pretty sharp looking helmet.
That visor on the front. That's right. Like, it looks like that helmet could be worn in a football game. You know what I mean?
It does. Yep.
It's awesome. I kind of just want one now for like the man cave or something, you know?
I wonder if they'll sell like special editions or, you know, like maybe autograph those or something.
He's an Irish guy himself, and he claims to be a big fan of Notre Dame football. So that's why this whole kind of collaboration has come about. But he is like full blown from Ireland. Like, he is Irish. I wonder if he went to the football game last year. I hope he did.
He might have. I don't know what the Indy car circuit looks like at that time of year, but he might have been over there. We're going to have a three-man show tomorrow. Don't get here late because both Jesse and Vince the Commie have hard outs. They have to be out at 6 o'clock. So we will start at 5 o'clock Friday.
Not a second later,
and we will not go a second past 6. So we're going to be in. We're going to be out. We're going to have a good time on the Friday Rapid Fire show tomorrow night. Are you ready for it, Jess?
Oh yeah, I am. You know, I as my good friend Dylan McCullough said, we are going to get straight to bleeping action tomorrow.
That's right, straight to bleeping action.
So do not miss out on that action tomorrow. I can't remember the last time all three of us were actually,
I know,
in a room together on a show. So
Tommy brings up a good point. Getting started on time will be dependent on Vince. So I know Vince listens to all the shows that he's not on. So he's listening to us trash talk him right now. So he knows he better test that computer out and have it ready to go tomorrow. All right. Well, hit that like button before you leave. We do appreciate you as always. Had a good time tonight, and we will talk to you tomorrow when we reconvene 5 o'clock Rapid Fire IB Nation Sports Talk.